Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
I'm Nick.
It's like you guys forgot your guys' names. And I think I have the best looking feet on the podcast, man. Like male feet, for sure. What do you think, Bobby? You're looking at them strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they're not bad looking feet, right?
I mean, have you seen everybody else's feet?
I can't see them.
No, but
I think Bobby's the only one that can see them.
I've seen a lot of male feet and like... I am like, yeah. Well, I might be biased for sure, right?
Leslie says I have Barney Rubble feet, and that the top of my feet are the smoothest things she's ever touched.
Ooh, but now that you have a baby, even the baby's butt's
same
pretty,
thing.
Pretty soft.
I just soaked my feet today.
You just sucked them?
Soaked. Oh.
All right.
I'm too fat to be able to put my foot to my mouth.
Too early for feet.
Using your tongue as sandpaper. That works.
So Bobby and I just wrapped movies on the DL. We watched Isle of Dogs. I highly recommend it. Bobby somewhat recommends it, I would say. It was an okay episode.
Good movie.
There's not a whole lot to talk about, right? In that one, Bobby.
Yeah, I think we hit all the points.
It wasn't thought-provoking, but I thought it was a great movie. Who put it together yesterday? Was that Days that put that together, Sniper? Do you know?
Put what together?
It was
the movie.
Yeah, it was Days and Tag.
Right.
Tandem.
Well, a couple of our moderators put together a movie night last night, and they watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And we good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I'm getting like statics.
I was just adjusting something.
Okay. And she was talking about how, like, we should incorporate, you know, movies on the DL with movie night. I thought that was a great idea. They got, like, 12 to 14 people watching it last night. And if we did, it was too late to course correct at that point. But if we start doing, you know, tying them up, I think that would be a really good thing. But we'll talk about it, me, Bobby, and Sniper. We'll talk about it and, like, maybe get that going.
Yeah. Well, the important thing is that, so we had a movie night on the DLG Discord, and that was on Saturday. I couldn't make it. And the night before that, Friday, we had a game night, and a lot of people were on for that as well. We played, what was everyone playing? Of course, we played some Jackbox. We played some people were playing Among Us afterwards. I think the plan was to play Unfortunate Spaceman, but everyone couldn't get that installed in time. But Friday has consistently been a night where a lot of people are very active on the Discord. So if you're looking for someone to game with or play with, then definitely jump on. And it's almost like a regular thing now. Last Friday was just extraordinarily big because it was planned and promoted, but regularly it's just a lot of people hopping on, and hopefully we can continue to do these planned game nights.
And the LFG channels are being utilized more than it had been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people have more free time or what's going on. Maybe January. I don't know. Or maybe we're cooler than we thought, Bobby. Joining
Maybe
us,
it's 2021 and times are changing for the better.
Yeah, that's fuck how. Yeah. Except for the whole like almost World War III thing, but yeah.
All right, so let's go to our on the radar section. These are games that have come to our attention recently, games that we are interested in but have not played yet. And the first one I wanted to mention was Unrailed. Last week we were talking about, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Recently, we were talking about flying simulators, Microsoft Flight Sim, and I mentioned I'm more of a train sim guy. So Unrailed is a train simulator, but this is probably the first co-op multiplayer train sim I've seen. And it's not your traditional train simulator. It looks like there's a lot of building and planning involved. It's more of a strategy type game. You're building tracks to keep a train moving through a terrain. The map looks very much like an isometric Minecraft, I guess, very blocky with that static point of view. It was free this weekend, and it was also on sale for half price, which was $10. I think full price is $20. So by the time this episode airs, that'll be gone. The game will be back up to its regular price of around $20. But still something like, I want to watch a stream of this and get a better idea of what this game is before I'd move on it. But I love that idea. Never thought of train simulation being multiplayer or co-op even.
I think it's less of a train sim, more of a, almost like an Overcooked thing. It's four people trying to work together to get something done on time. And the time is just a physical object, and it's the train. So if the train gets to the end of the tracks before you build it, you're probably in trouble, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of like a payload map where you know where the action is. You just got to keep stay ahead of it.
Yeah, you're not really... It doesn't look like you're really doing anything with the train. It's mostly just building the tracks so it can continue to move forward and manipulating the environment so it can move forward. But I don't know. I have not seen this game played yet. I've only seen the promotional material, the screenshots.
It's got good reviews.
Yeah, the reviews seem positive. It's something to keep an eye on.
Gee, do you think that this is like the old Windows game that where you move the goo from one pipe to the other, but now you have like a train instead, and it's a bunch of your friends trying to work together to put the train in one area to the other?
You're talking about World of Goo?
I don't know.
There's this. I think I know what you're talking about. Almost kind of like that BioShock puzzle game.
Exactly. Right? It's like the origins of the BioShock puzzle game. It's like when you got like Windows 98 and you got like the extra fucking games pack for like a dollar, and it had like this weird pipe game where you had to put the goo from one side of the screen to the other side.
Yeah, I do remember that. And this train game does seem charming enough to want to play at least once, I feel like. It is a co-op experience. Overcooked, it's really more about who you're playing with, too, that make it even more than what the game is itself. So I think this game can vary in fun factor depending on who you're playing it with, too. And that goes for a majority of co-op titles, such as Among Us. But I think what they have here, like the constructs of it, could potentially lead to something a lot of fun. More fun than Overcooked. It doesn't look like it, but it's the same charming cooperative element that has.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. One question I have about like a game like this is, would you guys be open, like if we know that, for example, like, or like Chi and Amelia and Bobby, obviously Amelia and Bobby, but if all of us are going to be on the podcast, for example, next week, are you guys open to having a caster/crew game night, whatever, and we can all play the same game, and then we can all actually talk about the same game?
We've talked about that.
That would be great.
You guys keep forgetting that Bobby doesn't like me, first of all. Second of all, I have zero time.
That's the real problem here.
I have to get a shovel and literally carve time out from the walls these days. It's so bad.
We could just assign you these cooperative games just like it's a workout session. You always have time to squeeze in a workout, do you not, Emilio?
No. I work out at the dinner table.
Lifting the baby's a workout.
Are you telling me we're still kind of recovering from that Vermintide incident where we're
all playing? Oh, God.
What happened? I don't know. I don't remember.
Vermintide, don't you remember
how
toxic that was?
Yeah. She was just off to, I don't know what she was doing. We were literally like fucking rats up to our fucking necks, and we're killing them. And she's fucking jacking off at the vendor. I was like, what is going on over there? She's like, oh, well, this is really cute. No, it's not cute. We're dying over here.
Oh my God.
Just to correct you there, Emilio, rat men, okay? Don't discriminate against my people.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure. Man.
What's next?
All right, the next game I wanted to talk about is called Dyson Sphere Program. So while we were having our game night, there were some other people who were online chatting with us but not playing with us, and they were playing this game. And apparently, it's like top of the charts on Steam right now, very popular. It is the new Factorio, basically. Mm-hmm. New and improved Factorio. Very, very strong reviews coming out of the gate.
Overwhelmingly positive. 4,000 reviews. 96%. Yeah.
The game's on sale right now for $17.99. Normally, I think $20. But it looks a lot like Factorio, but kind of a different setting. And it just kind of came out of nowhere. Now, I have never played Factorio. That is a game that I purposely avoided because I know I would just sink an ungodly amount of hours. And it's one of those games that crossed me as more of like a compulsive type game where the line between fun and compulsion is blurred. So I don't know. It seems like a very dangerous game for me, and I purposely avoided it.
Right.
But this, I don't know, man. People are really liking this game, and I know we have a lot of people in our community that enjoy Factorio, so this might be the game for them.
Are you going
to Factorio?
Are you going to pick it up, Bobby, or take a look at it?
I don't know.
Or same thing as Factorio.
If it's like Factorio. I said the same thing about WoW back in the day, and you know what got me on to WoW was that episode of South Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot, and then, you know, rest is history. There went my life for a couple of years in 2007.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stay away from that. When you see this name, all I can think about is a vacuum.
Yeah, it's a weird name. I think it's by a Chinese developer, because I heard some people in the reviews complaining about the translations. But yeah, Dyson Sphere Program, that doesn't really roll off the tongue. It doesn't really catch any attention. Like the name kind of, it wasn't until like somebody had pitched it to me and then I saw the screenshots and whatever that I was like, okay, this kind of looks good. But when I first heard the name, I'm like, yeah, what is that?
Well, Dyson Sphere is something, I believe there's an astrophysicist with the last name Dyson who came up with, at a certain level, a civilization will need to harness, I believe, all the energy from a sun. So they will build something around the sun to suck up all the energy. And that's the Dyson sphere. And he says that we'll be able to detect them at some point because.
So he thinks these are already existing in space.
Yeah.
What you're talking about, Amelia, is the Fermi paradox where civilizations across the universe will detect each other based off of how they harness energy. The first is resources based off of planets. The second is resources based off of the sun. And the third is resources based off of our physical universe, like gravity and just space-time in itself.
Yep.
That's very impressive.
Cool.
And so I guess in this game, you're probably building a Dyson sphere, I would imagine, is the final goal.
Yeah,
correct. By screenshots, you're building the Dyson sphere around the sun.
Yeah.
And this is no relation to the Dyson ball vacuum.
I have a Dyson.
Or yellow?
You know, it's funny. I came on here right after I bought my Dyson for $400, and I was like, I'm not getting $400 out of this. Like, it does not. And then, you know, just recently, 4 or 5 months later, we use that thing for fucking everything, man. Like, it is. Anytime anything goes awry, fucking Dyson, done. It's a few minutes and you're done.
Probably one of those kitties you had.
Yeah, I think ultimately it was probably worth it. And now I wonder, because we have like, I forget, they have ridiculous names. Like mine is the shark, and then the next level is like the monster. And I was like, what's the monster do if the shark's doing everything I need? Is this going to suck my dick? I don't know.
Yikes. All right. That's all I've got for On the Radar. What about you?
Oh, yeah. Nothing. I have nothing. But these motherfuckers, we were playing Game Night Part 2 the next night, right after movie night. We tried to get it a good. We could not get these guys pulled away from Dyson Sphere, dude. Mm-hmm. Could not.
Yeah, it's got that Factorio pull.
Dummy was in our fucking in our chat, and he's like, "We were like, hey, Gummy, we need an eighth." He's like, "Yeah, I can't do it. I'm a little addicted right now." And so Daisy has grabbed him and fucking dragged him to another fucking channel. Like, fuck you if you're not going to hang out with us. The I'll power of the moderator
this week.
What's that?
I said I'll definitely grab this week.
Yeah,
if it's multiplayer, I'll buy it from me and Leslie because we love shit like this.
Do you play Factorio or what's the other Satisfactory?
Yeah, Satisfactory.
Me and Leslie play Factorio together. Yeah, we got to like the middle game and then we stopped playing.
I wonder, is she as nerdy as you are, or is she just trying to like seduce you by playing nerdy shit?
So I will say she's nerdy in a different kind of way, right?
Yeah.
Her favorite film series is the Harry Potter series. She watches all the Lord of the Rings, the extended editions. I have put her off into video games. She knows how much it takes a hold of my life, but
yeah, it's tattooed like, all over your body, dude.
Exactly. But if she's like, you know, she sees a game that she thinks we can play together, because she watches shit on YouTube all the time. If she finds it, you know, lucrative, she'll get me involved. And the same, the vice versa. Like if I find a game that we can both play, we'll play it together. But she's more into like the slower games where she can like build like a zoo or whatever. But yeah. The last game we played together was Labyrinthine, which was like that scary game where you go through a labyrinth. And it was so funny because like you would guess like the dude would be the brave person running around and be like, I'm going to run around the fucking labyrinth and the hedge maze. Nope. Leslie was like, Nicholas, we have to go this way. Okay. I'm going to run this direction and you're just going to follow me. And I'm like, all right.
I already got Bobby sick.
No, I didn't take my allergy. No, been sneezing like crazy.
The virus has gone to the mechanical world. So Bobby hasn't gotten
sick all of 2020. Is that correct?
That is correct. Let's keep it that way. I mean, not only have I... Well, first of all...
When did you almost die? When was that?
That was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Wait, so you're saying human viruses don't affect you?
No, that's not true. I mean, here's the thing. Like, since we've all been quarantining and doing all of that, whatever, like, I've not gotten sick at all. And I used to... I used to not get like super sick, but I work with kids. So like I am constantly exposed to stuff and I'd get like something where I kind of felt down, but I could still work even though, you know, it's not a great idea to go into work like that. But I sneeze a lot just because of my allergies. And, I take a pill like every day for like one of those one a day things. Yeah. I didn't take it today. So I've been sneezing constantly. But that is not a symptom of COVID, but everybody looks at you when you sneeze oh my God.
And even if they don't, you feel it in your heart. You're like, oh, I just betrayed the human race. Like I try to stifle any kind of any of that bullshit.
For Bobby, it's my cover's blown.
Yeah.
In a sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but haven't I gotten sick?
That's how I felt in the very beginning of coronavirus when, like, you know, when initially it was when people were just screaming China virus the whole time. So just having the face that I have made people steer away from me. But realistically, now I think a lot of people have grown past that.
So Chi, I have a quick question about that. Did you have to, like, go, like, hey, I'm obviously American. Like, did you have to, like, perfect a speech for that? Or anything at all?
No, I did not have to confront or come into any confrontation with anyone about that. It was almost like an underlying social like behavior that I was able to pick up on. But when I was working as a bartender and a lot of my patrons were very rude about taking off their mask or putting on their mask when they needed to, or having to order food with their drinks. Whenever they would complain that they had to order food with their drinks, I would always say that it's the very least we can do since bars aren't even allowed to be open currently and restaurants are able to be open to serve you drinks. So, you know, if anything, you know, you have to really consider all the misfortunate souls in bars that can't actually be open. So you could buy a fucking bowl of chips or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was laughing because as you were doing that, Sniper was Googling, why are people such little bitches?
Oh, man.
I'm confused about our new color coding system here. Who's dark purple?
I'm pretty sure it's color coordinated with our names down here. So dark purple would be Nick.
Oh, Nick. Okay. What's totally reliable delivery service, Nick? You're muted.
Oh, Nick
you're
is muted.
Me. Sorry. Are you guys familiar with like the newest fad of like physics based systems? Like,
yeah, totally accurate game stuff.
Yeah. So this is something that's coming out soon. It's supposed to be coming out on April 1st. They said it's going to be like $2 or something like that, but if you pick it up now, you can pick it up for free. But it's up to 6 players co-op, and it's all about delivering packages.
This looks fucking awesome already.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different vehicles and stuff, and right now it's kind of like a little sandbox, really just testing out the physics and stuff. But it's all about delivering packages. Like, you can deliver them via like helicopter or go-kart or like dune buggy or school bus, whatever you want to do. But eventually they're going to be bringing up like a mission system where things can get damaged and stuff, where you can work at the airport or the beach. So I'm really excited for this in the sense of like a game night kind of situation where you can get like six or four people up. Gang Beasts, that's the game I was talking about. Like, I think this might be the new Gang Beasts.
Or like Humans Fall Flat. I love this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I definitely see the Gang Beast element, and I think it's totally charming that it's a cooperative thing. It seems like the world is a little bit of a sandbox. So it's one of those things where it's like rather than just having to do the task at hand, it looks like they grace you with opportunities to just run off and be innovative and enjoy like the sandbox world with your friends. That would be a lot of fun, because when you think about games like Grand Theft Auto Online and whatnot, you really create the fun if they give you the tools to do it. So this looks extremely charming, and I would probably prefer this over Gang Beasts, because I like cooperative games more than I like fighting games when it comes to multiplayer.
So my understanding is that this game, like the missions will place you in certain parts of the map, but there is like a free play / like crazy taxi mode where you go into an area and you can get missions, and you work in a little certain part of the game.
Cool.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Digging it.
Yeah. And then for my on the radar, I am super looking forward to this one. I have just scratched the surface of what this may be. So if you guys have anything to contribute to this conversation, they did launch the Resident Evil Village trailer, which is Resident Evil 8. And Resident Evil has been on a great, great, great role since. Honestly, I would say like Resident Evil 4 was amazing, 5, 6, and then 7. Since 7 launched and all of the remakes, Resident Evil can do no wrong in my eyes currently. And I feel like they are going to continue to do a lot of things right. With Resident Evil 8, they're using the RE engine, but they said they've done a couple of improvements on it. So the detail, the immersion, there won't be any more loading screens. So they really want to capture you and then keep you in it. I'm super excited about that. And the storyline is going to follow Ethan Winters, I believe that's his name, which is the protagonist from Resident Evil 7. And one thing that they do show is Chris Redfield, but he is not quite the, you know, clean looking Chris Redfield that you might be used to. He's looking really gruff, dark, and it seems like there's some type of like werewolf element with Resident Evil that we haven't seen in previous titles before.
So yeah, you can see it in the poster. You can see he has a very werewolf, like half werewolf thing going on. That's cool, because that's never been delved into with Resident Evil. I could tell from the production value from Resident Evil 7, the little that I played. I'm like, for fans of the series, this shit must be the shit. Right? Because like it's being remade, but not just remastered, but remade, and still doesn't lose whatever made the games great originally.
Yeah, I like that going in a supernatural direction. Looks interesting. These guys talking about the game look sickly.
Ha! I think it's the filter that they have.
Yeah, I think it's the way that they color graded this. I think it's the, like on purpose. But yeah, their skin looks very ashen white. It just
They probably did it on purpose.
Yeah,
those are the true faces of game development.
Yeah, we don't see depression. The sun. That guy on the left's actually black. He just lost all his pigment, dude. He hasn't seen the sun in like 2 years.
All the melanin.
The guy
gone.
On the right looks like a pure vampire.
That's the guy I'm worried about.
Have you guys seen the trailer for this? Like the official like announcement trailer that's like 3 minutes long.
No.
And it's like this is the reason why Goth Girls subreddit exists. And it's because like in the beginning of the trailer, there's like three like it's on YouTube. It's like the newest trailer that came out the day before yesterday. And it's like three like attractive like zombie ladies kidnap you and stab you, and you're like, all right, here we go. I guess it's the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
That's very American Horror Story, I feel like, too. You know?
It's exactly what I thought of.
Did you guys see...
And then...
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I was going to go off the rails. Go ahead if you got something else on this.
Oh, well, no. And then with Resident Evil 8, there's actually a playable demo and exclusive to the PlayStation 5. I was looking up and down to see if I could get my hands on it. And unfortunately, it's not available for PC. And hopefully they will have something available for PC. But from what I understand, the demo didn't really have combat in it. So it was probably more or less an extended trailer regarding that. I'm sure you could just YouTube it and check that out. I might have to resort to that if for some reason I can't get my hands on a PS5.
If they weren't showing like combat, it's probably really early in development. May 7th.
Well, it is due to release in May. So May 7th, not far at all.
Guys, fucking like 5 years ago, Capcom was just about to shut their doors. Like, it's crazy how much they've fucking bounced back. Good for them, man.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, did you guys see the Kong versus Godzilla trailer?
Yes.
I know it's just like, it's some stupid fucking, I don't know. It's not supposed to be. I got excited for it. I don't know. Yeah. Neither one of those things are my thing. The last one,
King of the Monsters, is actually pretty good. Yeah, it's a big dumb monster movie, but it works for what it is.
It's pretty good big dumb monster movie.
Yeah. It's honestly, because I went back and I tried watching a lot of old Godzilla movies, and like they start in the 50s, and they're really bad back then, but you know, they got some other stuff going on underneath the surface, like commenting on like nukes in Japan and stuff. But a lot of them are just like not great. Like they're hard to sit through unless you're like a real film nerd. But the newer ones are actually some of the best Godzilla movies out there. Mm-hmm. Honestly, though, I will say my absolute favorite Godzilla movie, Shin Godzilla. It's a Japanese movie. Okay, you've seen it. Yeah, that's honestly the best one I've seen.
What year is that from?
It's like 2014. It's not that.
Ooh, old. I want to check it out. That sounds good.
Shin Godzilla. It's good.
I didn't think the one in New York, I didn't think that was that bad.
About the Matthew Broderick one from 98?
Got tons of shit. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, it did. People got really upset with that movie for some reason.
Yeah. Shin Godzilla just sounds like a nickname I was called on the playground or something. Once upon a time.
Sniper, I sent you a link to the trailer I was talking about. Just fast forward to 1 minute and 20 seconds. The newest thing about the Godzilla movie before King of the Monsters. So I saw it at my hometown with like my family and everything. And there was like one moment where they're like, Godzilla's coming to San Francisco. And I'm like, what's his next destination? They're like, Livermore, which is like the town I like my parents live in. And then everybody, because I'm watching the movie theaters in Livermore, everybody's going insane. They're like, we exist in the cinematic universe. Yeah.
It's official.
I had a similar experience with Anchorman. I think it was the second one. I think it was the second one, because that's the one where Wes Mantooth like shows up at the end and like helps out Ron Burkin, and he says, and he's like, "Hey, why are you helping me?" He's like, "Because you don't mess with people from San Diego or something like that." And everyone's like, "Woo, San Diego! That's where we live. That's where we're at right now. Woo!" You know, like it was a fucking concert.
The whale's vagina.
this is what I was talking about earlier about the Reddit post. Like this is the screen cap that everybody's going to is what Sniper's showing.
Oh, is it the witch?
At 120, super tall witch. Is like the lady who like talks to you.
Yeah,
everybody's freaking out about it. And
cool styling, man.
There's actually a meme of the collector's edition that has a like butt. Did he go mute again?
Who?
Nick? Yeah, he mutes himself in between talking.
I'm fat, so I breathe really heavy, so I mute my breathing.
And that's why he moves his head around like who's the blind guy?
Like Ray Charles.
It must have been something on my end. I think you were talking and it was showing you were talking, but I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Mm. All right, where are we at? What are we talking about?
All right, I think Sniper wanted to talk to us about Star Wars Galaxy's Restoration.
Who's Sniper?
Yeah, dude, who the fuck is that? Get out of here.
You're the man behind the man behind the man, dude.
yeah, real quick here. Okay, so one time when I was 13, I married a man in Star Wars Galaxies, and I stole his collection of Force-tuned crystals, and I pretended to be like an 18-year-old girl, and ever since then, I really like this game.
Was he...
A couple episodes
ago... He was convinced you were a girl, right?
Oh, totally.
Was he sending
Did you ever have to send him pictures?
No, I never had to send him pictures. I had to I don't know if I should really get into it. But
I mean, was he like,
and all.
Did he ever try to like cyber you or anything, you know, like send like,
no,
he never went to,
no, oh. He mostly, it's kind of sad. He mostly, I don't know. He was mostly looking for company. Aww. And then I stole a bunch of his high profile stuff. He never really, yeah, never really got sexual.
How does one steal from somebody else?
Well, if you marry someone in the game, you get access to all their player houses. Oh, my God,
you're terrible,
and,
dude.
And, wow. And everything.
It's like real life.
Do you know that he is alive to this day?
I don't
know. No, he killed himself right after that. Sorry.
So, yeah, his life was over once his loot was gone.
Oh, my gosh. His 18-year-old internet girlfriend and his loot.
Right. You probably got one of those like extendable lightsabers that you can buy from like the toy department in Target, and they just put it in his mouth and extended it.
I gotta cut in here. There was a while back where, well, Sniper helps us with everything on the business end of things. At some point I had to trust him enough to give him my, our PayPal, information. And he's like, "You're not going to give it to me? Do you think I'm playing the long con, dude? I've been around for like 3 years. And now I regret it. Now that I'm hearing this, dude, are you going to take our force crystals, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Is you just trying to get our force crystals?
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be the long, long con.
Okay. In my defense, we met and we're married in a couple weeks, okay? So it wasn't like, it wasn't a long deceit. Wow. It was
and
just,
you're saying you didn't put out. That doesn't add up. So, and this was on Star Wars Galaxies, but what you're talking about now is Star Wars Galaxies restoration server. So they're bringing it back. Are these fan-made and maintained servers?
Yeah. So the Star Wars Galaxies obviously shut down. You can't play it anymore, but there's these emulator communities. None of them have officially launched. They're all in beta, but this one has launched, and all like there's three eras of the game that focus on different things. One made the game more like WoW. One made the game more like, I don't know, like EverQuest skill-based. Mm-hmm. And this server takes basically the best of everything and presents it to you in one. It's the only one to do that. And it's the only one that's going to launch complete. And it's going to be kept up forever or until it gets sued or something like that. So I just want to put this on the radar for everyone. If you're a Star Wars Galaxies fan, I talked about it a couple episodes ago and Hollow Point pointed me here. Now I want to point everyone else here. So, Star Wars Galaxies Restoration. Check it out.
Awesome, cool. Sniper.
This is up and running right now.
You're out for a new husband again.
Yeah, careful out there.
Already advertising yourself as single and ready to mingle.
Oh, boy. all right. Let's talk about some games that we have been playing. I guess I'll start this off. I'm going to be nice and quick about it. I played the usual games this week, you know, just games with the community and Deep Rock, Killing Floor, all that. But what I really want to talk about was the new game that I played this week called Sid Meier's Pirates. You got to say it like that because there's an exclamation point at the end. But Sid Meier's Pirates is a 2004 game that was recommended to me by somebody, and it was pitched like this. It's Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, but a strategy game. And really, I'll leave it at that. I don't want to like over-explain this game, all the different things you can do in it, because that's probably the best description that I can give to people. It's an old game. I thought it was older. I thought this was like a 90s game, and I had always kind of like ignored it. So I'm like, that's probably too old to go back to. But then I found out, 2004, doesn't seem so bad. Graphics seem okay. So I went and checked it out, and I'm super glad I did. I really enjoyed this game. It's got one glaring issue, though, and that is the controls. So if you look at the screenshot, like the one we're on right now, the controls, there's like a number pad grid layout in the bottom right corner, and you're supposed to use your numpad for that. So on each one of those, you can press a button to do an action, depending on what you're doing, whether you're in a sea battle or in a duel or doing one of the infiltration maps when you're looking for treasure or trying to escape somewhere. But you cannot rebind these keys. I couldn't figure out how to. And I don't have a number pad. So that's a big problem. Now you can click with the mouse on those, but it's very awkward to have this little grid in the right corner and to click like anytime you want to move up, down, left, right, or do any of these actions. You can also use the arrow keys for like the up, down, left, right. but you can you're really like stuck to using the mouse. Not being able to rebind those is a huge issue. It kind of makes the game a little awkward to play. Even aside from that, I still had a great time playing this game. It really is like Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Like, you're doing all the same things. You're doing all the pirate stuff. You're hunting for treasure. You're a swashbuckler. You're having sea battles. The sea battles are really great. In a really weird game way, this game reminds me of my absolute favorite Nintendo game called North vs. South. North vs. South is a strategy game from the Nintendo, mind you. There weren't a lot of those on the Nintendo, where you're reenacting the Civil War. You choose a side, and you know there's basically different kinds of... you have this overall map, and then there's battles that take place in areas and other things that go on. But this kind of reminded me of a more advanced version of that. My favorite part about this game is... there's like a whole romance thing. So, you know, you're this swashbuckler, you're going around, you're meeting mayors, and they always introduce you to the daughter. And when the daughter comes out, it will say very attractive or plain. Yeah. And of course they're trying to set you up with a daughter. But it's totally like, you couldn't do this today, right? Like, this is a little rough, but like if it's plain, you obviously don't want that one. Like, so you would like deny any invitation or request. And the animation for that is so funny. Like it's the mayor introducing his daughter. The daughter's like, oh, hello. And then you just put your hands up and you're like, nope. And you walk away just like that. It's the animation is so funny. Yeah. Which is,
I was actually going to ask you if this is the pirate game with the, dancing mini game.
Yes, the dancing mini game. That's what, yeah. You gotta buy her a ring, and then after that you dance with her, and then after that you gotta like fight some dude who's like a, you know, another gentleman caller, and that's as far as I made it in the romance. But yeah, the dancing is the part. But it's just so funny, like if you just turn down one of the unattractive ones, and you're just like, nope, and you walk away, or like you do like the back away with the hands up. Which, you know, I mean, it's tough. I guess you could do it in 2004, but I mean, come on, you don't, maybe she's like a really good cook, or like she's got a great personality or something. I feel like you're really jumping to conclusions here. So I would like a little more depth in the romance department here on this game, but you know, can't be perfect. Yeah, we got
Bobby, do I have depth for you? Have you ever heard of the show Turn?
Turned?
Just Turn, T-U-R-N.
No.
So it's on AMC, right?
Okay.
Made in 2017. It's got 4 seasons. It's on Netflix, so you can borrow your girlfriend's Netflix for this. Mm-hmm. It's about the spies of the Civil War, and I think you'd love it.
The spies of the Civil War. Okay. Yeah, I still haven't watched Free State.
It follows one person.
All right. Maybe.
Dude, I'm going to pick up this game right now. This looks amazing.
This game is amazing.
The dancing mini game is pretty intriguing. I'm not sure if I watched you play this, Bobby, but I remember watching a streamer play it, and I stuck around for the whole wooing experience when it came to the, I guess, the mayor's daughter.
Yeah.
And now that I've discovered.
I'm pretty early in this game. I'm only a couple hours in, but you can go port to port and like woo a lot of ladies. Like, I don't know, like when you lock it down, I know there's like, eventually you get married to one of them, but yeah. I was wooing one at one port, and then I found like this, one with like black hair. I'm like, I'll go with the black hair one. 'Cause it's pretty much the same model, but different shades of skin and different colors of hair.
Men
are so vain, are they not?
What is that thing from fucking Austin Powers? He goes, are you going to use a condom? And he goes, what? He's like, what do you think I am, a sailor? He's like, no. And he's like, they should, the dirty bastards. They go from port to port.
Yeah. That's probably why I said it like that, because I was thinking of that scene. But yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that was a funny part. But yeah, the combat in this game is so much fun. Like, the duels are pretty fun, but again, hard to do with a mouse and the arrow keys. You really need a numpad for this. But really, the ship battles are what's so great. Like, you have to, like, turn your ship, fire the cannons. You can fire different kinds of shots, like one that damages troops, one that breaks the sails. There's wind, so you got to, like, counter the wind. And then you ram into them when you want to, like, board them and just, like, raid them with your guys. And it's got just... you know, it's a strategy game by Sid Meier. Like, he really knocks it out of the park. This game's, like, I don't know, $10 on Steam. I got it in some bundle for like dirt cheap, and it's probably on sale for like half price or less than half price. Like, it's an old game. I think a lot of people have played it and they liked it back then. This is my first time ever playing it, and like, I'm totally hooked on it. I've been trying to find time to play more and more of this game and like advance in it, but it's just been tough this week. I think I only put about 4.5 hours into it.
Now, Bobby, let me pull you away from this fascinating thing for a second.
Okay.
Where you at with Death Stranding? Have you played that at all?
Not this week, no.
And then GTFO, did you play that anymore?
We played a little bit more. We're working on B1. So we jumped. Yeah, I can talk about this a little bit because I did play some of that recently.
So you went through. I don't think I totally understand A1, 2, 3.
So A1, 2, and 3 is like its own biome or its own area, right? Okay. Like, they're all similar, but they kind of get a little harder as they go
on. Like a level in segments.
Yeah, I guess so. So we went to B1, and B1's completely different. We're facing new challenges. There's even new enemies. There's really only one kind of new enemy. These little, like, pus pockets that stick to the wall. And if you walk by them, they explode and shoot
on
you.
Hard to see?
Yeah, because they're kind of small, but they're bright white. Yeah. But everything's so dark, it is hard to see. But if you shine your flashlight on them, they kind of retract and go away, and it's safe to walk by them. So really, you always got to be, like, putting the flashlight on them.
But the flashlights can also attract the other dudes, right? So...
Yeah, but the one Correct. We're working on, there's a lot of big guys and not a lot of little guys.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's that, so, and there's also gas. So there's this gas that builds up an infection, and the infection basically acts like a cap for your health. So if you have 15% infection, then you can have only up to 85% right, health. Gotcha. Yeah.
And that builds up the entire time? So you have a speed mechanic that you're trying to work
No,
through?
No, it's in certain areas. So someone has to carry this big giant fan that blows it away, and you'll have to like huddle together as you're walking through
it. Oh, shit. Cool.
Yeah. And so there's just all these new things that we tried the level once, B1, we went through it once, and that was like kind of our introductory. Now we're like, okay, we know how everything works. We obviously failed, but now we're going to switch up our gear. There's a lot of big guys, not a lot of little guys. So my plan is let's all take sniper rifles because those will one-shot the big guys if we catch them off guard.
Right.
But they do make noise, but there's not really any little guys to alert, so I think it'll be better because the big guys otherwise are really hard to take down.
That's cool, man. I love games that let you utilize everything. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes they'll be like, double barrel shotgun, but it's in a stealth game. Like, when would you ever use that? Like,
yeah. You know, I was a little concerned. We played like A1 through A3, and I was like, okay, this is getting a little old. Yeah, like we figured it out. Yeah. You know, it's pretty much like rinse, dry, repeat after this. You know, so I was really happy when we went to B1, and I was like, oh, they're completely. We gotta approach this new a completely mechanics. Different way.
Yeah.
Like, we've totally got to switch things up here. We got to switch up our gear. We've got to like totally stay closer together now and like communicate more. Like, who's got the fan? I'm going this way with the fan. Everyone stay on me. You know, there's a lot more. A lot different things happening in this next set of levels.
That would have been hilarious if you were like, we got to switch out players too. Like, this guy's not tactical enough. We're going to have to get rid of JP Diddy. We're going to bring in the big guns. Nick, you had something to say about this? Because you've been playing it with him,
right? So one thing... Yes, correct. So one thing I will directly associate with this is that it's exactly like the Mario experience, where the first three levels, like, it's like World 1. Stage 2, stage 3.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Where like they go through one mechanic, and the first mechanic for the A series is like the alarm door.
Yeah.
So it's like here's the door. When you open it, an alarm's going to sound and everybody and their mom is going to run towards you and you have to defend the door. Well, in the B series, it's this fog that is omnipresent and there's no more alarm doors. I mean, I think there's one, but it's not really as much of an important objective as sticking together and huddling around the person with the fan. Right. And so I think that's one thing that is awesome about this game that Bobby pointed out. So this is definitely something to bring me back.
Cool. That sounds cool, man.
It's cool that it forces you to change your behavior in order to progress through the different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
Did you give the fan to the biggest fan of the podcast?
I don't know who was carrying the fan. Like
I was carrying the fan for the most of the time.
Yeah, for some of the time, but then somebody else took it. We weren't organized enough. Like we were just figuring out all these mechanics. And like I immediately at the very beginning of the map, I like ran down into the fog. I'm like, huh, what's happening? Uh-oh, this isn't good. And then I got lost. Yeah, because you can't see anything in the fog. So like I'm like running around and I just got max infection like right off the bat. Ooh. So it was just, you know, it wasn't good to begin with. But it was a practice run. Now we know.
Yeah. I remember playing GTFO very early on. And I don't really see myself playing this again anytime soon. But the one good thing I can say about my experience playing it is it taught you how to get along well with strangers, especially if you don't have a group of people to play with. You have to learn how to communicate with everyone and get them on the same level as you. It's nice because when you do queue up with three random strangers, there's always one person that steps up into like the leadership / communicative role. And it's really nice to like see that it's a game that, like, as it mentions, you have to work together. And I definitely felt that on the social scale of it.
Believe it or not, that person is Bobby. He has the bio scanner. And he's like, look, there's four guys this way. They're having a bad day. They're talking about divorce. These guys on the right, there's two of them. They had waffles for breakfast. Okay, so we're going to take out the two guys on the right first, and then we're going to take out the four guys on the left. And we're like, all right, Bobby, you call it. We'll do it.
What was that little... It almost looked like a quest marker, Bobby, like a, showing the line.
That's what I'm wondering. So we're watching the video on Steam right now, and it looks like... I think it might be a gun that this guy's using, but it tags... It like highlights the enemies. It puts a little targeting reticule on him.
So you guys maybe haven't unlocked everything.
Well, I don't know if you can unlock stuff, but I don't know. I have to look that up and see.
So it's not unlocked. Every mission set has different weapons and tools.
So maybe these guys are on the C.
Gone to C and D.
Yeah, this level does look different tools.
Damn, you guys are getting a lot of play out of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know what we talked about last week with them doing like kind of the seasonal updates to the game where they cycle out all the old stuff and bring in like completely new stuff and it'll never repeat itself. Like it just, it looks good for this game. Like it's going to have a good lifespan.
Cool.
All right. You guys got a lot to talk about. Let's get to it.
Yeah. So I picked up Wreckfest a while ago. Not breakfast. Wreckfest. Wreckfest. It's a
so that's what happens after breakfast, right?
Yeah. If you have Mexican, yeah. it's basically fucking what do you call it? A derby, a demolition derby, but also a race. So there's two modes. You can either just smash everybody up and or you go on a race, and you can modify your car and upgrade it, and you win. It's not as involved like a Gran Turismo or anything. It's like, hey, your shit's better now. You're like, all right, cool. And I played through it. The graphics are pretty good. I bought this for, can you see the price, Sniper? I got it really cheap, dude. I believe it was like under $7 when I bought it.
Well, it's on, it's $29.99 right now, but the current best deal, it's 50% off on the Humble Bundle store right now.
I remember getting it pretty cheap. So far, I like it. I haven't played it too much. Just if you're looking out, if a Destruction Derby kind of game sounds cool to you, definitely check this out and grab it on sale because I was surprised what I got for my money. Besides that, I watched The Croods, A New Age. It was... probably better than the first one. I thought I really liked the first. Anything fucking caveman, just, I don't know. I just found out recently, I did the 23andMe for my mom. And I found out that I'm in the 90, well, she is in the 97 percentile for Neanderthal DNA. And it just makes so much more sense, dude. Like, I am super caveman over here, dude. Yeah, she has like...
Leslie told me that people that have that DNA live longer than normal people.
Yeah, it makes sense, dude. Nana lived to, what, 98 or something like that?
yep.
And so anyway, So it makes a lot of sense for me. Like, I have no shoes on right now. Like, I don't wear jackets. I don't own jackets. I don't get cold. Like, all kinds of stuff. It just makes sense. I can't wait to see, like, what mine says, if I kept that high number. But anyway, I love fucking caveman shit. And the first one I thought was great, and this one is, I don't know, the story was good. And I very inventive and beautiful colors, and like, it's like things that look real, but it was like a different take on reality. It was almost like a whole mushroom trip, the whole thing. I liked it anyway. I thought it was really good. Besides that, I'm just going to try to run through my things here. Probably the biggest thing that happened to me this week was the end of my D&D Essentials kit. So the Livingston was running our D&D game, and I mean, there's a lot of people that you know from the podcast. So Daze was on there, JP Diddy was on there, Tag Laura was on there, and two other people that were like Livingston's friends. And you know, we got into this thing and we started off, and this Essentials kit, guys, if you're scared about D&D or don't know anything about it, it's like $18. How much is it? It's like, it's very cheap. I think I paid $15 for it. And it comes with everything you need. It comes with the DM guide. It comes with the monster guide. It comes with the player's handbook, and it comes with some pre-made characters. If you want to, you can make your own characters, mm-hmm. of course, but if because making your characters kind of, it's not intuitive.
Yeah. This is not like, a digital item.
No, this is not a digital item, although you can probably get it in a digital form.
You can get it as a digital item on D&D Roll
Beyond. 20. Yeah, correct. Yeah, either one. So Roll 20 and D&D Beyond are both digital forms of playing D&D, and they charge you for certain stuff. Although Roll 20 is a lot easier to put like fakes into, mm-hmm. kind of. But anyway, you can buy this if you want to play physical D&D. We played from level 1 to level 6, and I had a great time. There's a bunch of cool stuff in there. It was really well written. We had a blast, man. I mean, this Essentials kit basically got me into D&D. I forced myself to learn how everything works. Then I came and started playing, and at the end of the thing, you know, you fight a dragon, you know, big surprise. But it was, you know, it was completely up to us where to fight it, how to fight it, try to lure him into a trap. You know, it was almost like the Seven Samurai, because we got the villagers. None of this was pre-scripted. We could have left the villagers at all, but the villagers helped us. We conscripted them to come to this fort that was broken down, and it had murder hole, like this passageway that had murder holes in it, you know? So we had all the townsfolk on these like ballistas, and we're like, if we can get into this hallway, we'll fucking kill it. It was hard to get into the hallway, but we finally did. It was awesome. And then, I wouldn't say that like I always did the most. Yeah, I probably always did the most damage. I would say super consistent. Like I was doing tons of damage all the time. I would kill everything, and then this time I was just rolling fucking bananas or something bad. I was rolling like shit, so I couldn't hit shit, and I was on the wrong level. I wasn't near the fight, and JP Diddy, who legendarily rolls terrible all the time, was in the murder hole. He was bait, basically. We used him mm-hmm. as bait. Ended up killing. He rolled diamonds, dude, nonstop, and he just went off. And the last turn of the game or whatever, he remembered he has a dragonbane sword, which gives like plus damage to dragons. He forgot that he had it. He fucking pulled it out and killed it with the last stroke with the dragon. It was almost like. It was meant to be, dude. It was awesome. Right. It was a really cool experience. And I've been missing a lot of them because I haven't had time. But I was like, woman, I'm playing the last goddamn night of D&D. Goddamn it. And yeah, for fucking $18, you and like five friends can have like 40 hours of fun. Like where else does that happen? It doesn't happen.
Imagination.
The theater of the mind.
I think that's awesome. I wish I had this introduction to D&D when I did play it with one of my ex-boyfriends, but when I did play it back then, I enjoyed it, but I felt like I still couldn't get a rein on everything. I was mostly getting my handheld throughout the whole experience. So having something as sound, but with a lot of freedom, sounds really cool when it comes to the Essentials kit. I don't know if I jump into it right away, but if there's ever a moment in time, I feel like it would be a good party night thing, which I could see myself doing once my man comes back. I wouldn't like leave that off the table for sure.
For sure. Yeah. It's like scripted. It's like hard scripted, but also fucking if you have a good DM, doesn't matter. Just go off and do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Just randomly go ahead.
And with that, I want to announce that I am officially taking a break from World of Warcraft because I started a new position, and we're going to be bringing Dungeons and Dragons back, and we're going to be exploring the rest of our world.
Nice.
There's going to be some new characters being done by players. Sniper's going to be playing a new character, and we have room for one more person. So, and if anyone wants to join from the podcast or the community, definitely let me know.
Cool.
That's epic.
What was I going to say? Yeah, I guess that's it. Also, I announced that one of our listeners, Major Muchacho, sent me a PlayStation 4 not for keepsies, for loansies. And then turns out it shows up. I loaded it up. I was like, oh, this kind of works out for my lifestyle. Like, I have to watch the baby. The baby's usually in my room. It's beautiful. It's Kismet, right? Load it up. Doesn't work. I was like, fuck. So I message him and he's like, dude, I am so sorry. I will pay for it to you to send it back to me so that I can fix it. I'll send it back. But basically the SSD got disconnected. It was a really quick fix. I fixed it in under 5 minutes. Mm. And
oh, nice.
And I started, and I'm logged into his account, which he doesn't play PlayStation right now. So basically I can use it as much as I want. So I jumped into The Last of Us 2. Most of my commentary right now is going to be about being on a console again for the first time in a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
I probably never really even touched a PlayStation 4 very much. I mean, very minimally.
I love the PS4. You're going to love the games available on that. That's the one console I do spend time on. And I think I didn't know you wanted a PS4. I would have given you one.
I didn't want one.
You can switch to mouse and keyboard, by the way.
It was more about me just playing The Last of Us 2. That was the important thing. And so that he heard me saying that and he sent it over. I mean, dude. And I was like, dude, let me pay you for this. And he's like, you guys keep me laughing through my whole workday. Like, that's, you know, invaluable and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck. It's the little things, Bobby.
Yeah. Really? If only I could pay my rent like that.
Yeah, yeah. How many PlayStation 4s will this apartment cost me? more about, because I only played about 2.5 hours. The game's great. I mean, you could see why it gets all the accolades that it did. It does. I mean, it's good. It's great. It's great. But just little things that I hadn't, you know, you don't get with a PC. Like, you just grab the controller and push the button and it turns your console on and my TV automatically goes to the source. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to do anything. I literally push one button and a whole fucking Rube Goldberg machine of electronic digital code jumps back and forth. And next thing you know, I'm playing Last of Us 2. And also, you don't have to save or anything. You just walk away from the bitch. You kick it. It turns off. You come back and you're exactly where you were. Not like in the same area. The exact same scene that you paused it or left the game at and powered off. That's exactly where you're at. I know this is fucking, you guys have been playing consoles for years, but like, that doesn't really happen on PC. You can't like mid shot turn off the power and then come back and then that's exactly, it doesn't happen. That's not one of the things that we get. And the other thing I was thinking about is these like cinematic story experiences. We talked about it about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, that the PC, you really don't find this on PC very much. You know, you have your first person shooters and they have their like cinematic cutscenes, but this third person the cutscene looks just like the gameplay movie-like storytelling isn't really done on PC. And I guess the real reason is, or the reason was for a long time, is that, you know, if somebody, who knows what it costs to make The Last of Us 2, like hundreds of millions of dollars, probably at least $100 million. You know, you put that on a bunch of, if you put it on PC, half of the copies are going to get stolen. You know, it, but if you have this microcosm of just the PlayStation, you don't let it off the PlayStation, at least just the thievery is limited to just the PlayStation. And like me, you might, some people are just going to acquire a PS4 just to play one or two titles. And so it's interesting. The Last of Us 2 is something that would transcend PlayStation dumb, but because it's held in by its own network, it's almost, it sounds counterintuitive, but it works for PlayStation. They make games so good that you have to, it's almost like Apple, you have to go to them to get the sweet, you know what I mean? It's weird, but it's great. I can't say a bad thing about the game. The controller's great, everything's good.
Does this mean that, does this mean you're going to be buying a PS5 to play Gran Turismo 7?
No. So at work, people were talking about, you know, it's always the same thing. It's like, oh, you're a gamer. What do you play? And they always want me to say like Call of Duty or something that like is going to ring a bell in their head.
Mainstream.
Yeah. And always I'm like, my new response is you would laugh if you saw what I play. I play weird little games by indie developers because they're the ones taking risks. And then nobody has anything to say back to that. It's like, it ends the conversation right there.
I will say, I don't think the Xbox enthusiasts I don't think I've interacted with one in a very long time. I would say when it comes to a console fandom, it's the Sony boys that are really holding their ground and have more to be proud of, considering their exclusive titles and, you know, the way that PlayStation does keep itself relevant these days too. So,
well, Microsoft is doing a lot of things, but they aren't really restricting it to just the Xbox anymore. They're doing a lot of cross-platform stuff, and they've been kind of critical of PlayStation being so restrictive with their games and their IPs.
What are you also though, dude?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they got, but they're definitely taking a
when
different
you're making
route.
Art.
And it's better. I think it's better for PC gamers. Like Microsoft used to be a joke. Games for Windows Live was an absolute joke. And they've really made a comeback, though, in the eyes of the PC gaming community with, you know, the Xbox Game Pass and all the cross-platform stuff that they've done and just, like, becoming so much more open. But, you know, it's, I don't know. Like, PlayStation's doing what works for them. You got to do what works for you, I suppose.
It's two different methods, right? It's kind of like Microsoft is going from port to port. They're just like giving it away everywhere they can, right? And fucking PlayStation has like a fucking what is that? What's that lockbox that they put on their vaginas? What is that thing called?
The chastity belt.
Chastity belt. Yeah, it's like you got to pay a hefty price to get in this sweet, right? So it's they both work though. They're both like valid strategies. Because they're both working.
Well, I think they benefit different people. So for a PC gamer, like Xbox, definitely better. Or Microsoft, I should say. It's definitely better. But if you do want to pay the money for PlayStation, then yeah, I mean, go for it.
I think.
Oh, he has God of War,
you know,
too.
If you go...
Yeah, God of War 3 is, not 3, I'm sorry. God of War is the title that I'm looking to beat on PlayStation.
As someone with a God of War tattoo, I say that's my number one game to play on the PS4. The Last of Us is amazing so far as much as I've played. Mm-hmm. I will say I am waiting for the PS5 and to transfer my save to the PS5 to be able to play The Last of Us 2 all the way through, because they've already said that The Last of Us 2 has improved graphics on the PS5.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I would imagine.
I'm sure that'll be worth the wait, too.
Bobby, when I'm done, like, are you going to give it a shot? Like, I could just hand it to you. It's a thing.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. It really depends on my time. My schedule is it's like super busy right now, and it's about to get even busier.
Yeah, so. Especially when you're watching 1950s Godzilla movies, dude.
Yeah, no, that was a long time ago. This is not something I did recently. There are so many Godzilla movies, dude. Oh, my God. Like, look up how many Godzilla movies. You will be surprised. Like, you think there's a lot? No, there's even more.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right, what have you guys been playing?
All right, so over here, I'll try to be fairly quick. I do have to use the restroom. I have mostly just, like, stories. I'm not going to overindulge in what the titles are themselves, because they're a rinse and repeat of titles you've heard me talk about since I've been on the cast. The newest addition to my gaming setup is a HTC Vive. It is actually not mine. It's my boyfriend's, and it's been sitting in the closet this entire time. I've always been interested in VR, and now I officially have it set up. It really just took a couple of moments of me having people around to help me physically put it up, because I'm the type of person who's like, honey, do for me, you know? And so with that, I officially have it set up. I have the sensor boxes, I forgot what they're called, but they're screwed into the walls. That was an ordeal and a half in setting that up. And so far since setting it up, I haven't played any games on it yet. I have checked out Google Earth, and one of my friends is trying to get me to check out, I think it's called Big Picture, with them and his friends. It's basically watching movies in a movie theater. And that's one thing that I will look forward to, too. I think they have these meetups every night where they watch a movie together. So I would love to check that in VR. A big reason why I haven't played as much VR lately is because I was experiencing really bad neck problems. And it was more or less due to, I guess, living in the pandemic, being sedentary. And also my PC setup was a little bit broken. My monitor was sitting a little bit too low compared to where my neck and my head is. So, and since I've been streaming more and longer hours, it actually proved to be very detrimental on my physical health. Once I sorted that out, and once I sort out my green screen, I would love to do some VR streams. The next game I definitely want to try out in VR is most likely Resident Evil 7, especially with Resident Evil 8. Coming up, so I'm excited for that.
Your save in Resident Evil 7 is normal. Is that going to translate over to your VR save, or
I don't know. And I see myself starting over in VR, because I want to experience the full game in VR if I do go to VR. And I got pretty far in Resident Evil 7. I don't know if I was close to the ending, but I played a huge lump sum of the game, and I'm excited to, like, give it a shot in VR.
Chi, so. I'm not sure about this. Are there levels to, like, is there a fear cap for you? Is there a game that, like, or has there been a game where you're like, this is too scary, I can't play it?
There actually isn't. I feel like with scary video games, I'm always willing to give them a shot, because I have some level of control in the game. I literally get scared out of my seat. The last time I played Resident Evil 7, if you pick up any clips of mine, I literally will fall off my chair screaming in horror. And I imagine if I'm in VR, I might rip off my helmet and, you know, start crying. But at the same time, I think...
you always go back.
right? You might... I mean, there are certain emotions that we get addicted to, so why not just suffer ourselves through that?
Damn. I'm excited
because it's a great game. More than anything, it's a good game. So that's how I feel about horror games. Like, I know horror games are really good. Certain ones are really good, and I'm more about playing the good games rather than just, like, the element of scary games.
Hades.
And speaking of good games, I did crack the seal in Hades, and I'm super glad that I did. Hades has proven to be a lot of fun and extremely refreshing from my addiction to the FPS genre. When I loaded up Hades, it was extremely intuitive. It kind of made me forget that, like my ability to play games translates beyond just like WASDing and, you know, aiming my crosshair in a certain direction. I kept on like, this is a rogue light, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I really like that.
We're making strides. Gee, we got it. We got it.
We got it. I know. And it's, and I really like this. I think the animation, the abilities, the character development, the voiceovers, the hunky Zagreus. Is that how you say his name?
Uh-huh.
God, he's so hot. Everybody's hot in this game. Yeah. That helps. But no, I've made it only past like the first boss. And when I do load this back up, I want my green screen to be up and running again because it's so beautiful. I don't want to block it off with like I don't want to unimmersify my viewers with from the experience of like having my distracting back, like very bright background when playing this beautiful game.
Again, so just really quick story,
yeah,
art, sound, gameplay, like it's got it all.
It really does. I'm glad I'm really glad I started jumping into it, and it pulls me away from my traditional gaming experience as a shooter player, kind of.
And speaking of which, let's talk about those.
Speaking of which, I have two experiences regarding like what might be different with my FPS game style. So I did reload Valorant after months on end of not reloading it. The last time I played Valorant was the tip of the second season, and when they launched Killjoy. Since then, they've launched two more agents and one new multiplayer map. I played enough games to freaking only make it to Bronze 2, but that's totally an agreeable rank for me because I was relearning everything as I was playing, and I wasn't intimidated by like queuing competitive without really having like a full understanding of the characters and whatnot or the maps anymore. I can play Valorant a lot more casually than I was before with my boyfriend. I actually stopped playing Valorant before since it was creating relationship tension.
Oh shit.
But I'm pretty excited that I can approach it more casually since CSGO will continue to be my main shooter. The new agent Sky, Yoru, and then the map Icebox, they're all really nice. And it's none of it seems game breaking. Some of the elements are obvious. Like I think certain heroes are kind of irrelevant when it comes to the new heroes' abilities. But I'm excited to play it a lot more casually, and you know still enjoy it, but maybe not be as fully invested as I would be, such as like Counter-Strike. As for Counter-Strike, my experience changes every single night, whether I'm playing with friends. And I actually gave when I'm streaming and playing Counter-Strike, sometimes I get viewers that ask me to play. And after this last experience, I am honestly not going to queue with any viewers anymore or strangers. The biggest reason why is it's not even on his fault. The viewer was MG1. I'm only Silver 2. I suck right now. But in order to queue with him, we would have to develop a 5-stack. So that took about 40 minutes trying to get 5 people to agree to queue with us. So it wasted a lot of time.
Why? Because he was higher or lower?
Because he was higher. So okay. Our ranks were so disparate. And then like after that, we finally got a 5-stack, and there was someone who didn't have a Prime account. And Prime means someone who's played enough to basically get into like the more secure games. Like if you're playing in Prime games, there's going to be a little bit less likely of a chance that you're going to have a hacker. But unfortunately, in that game, I did have to deal with an apparent spin botter. Spin botting is where their character is played almost like in third person, and it's constantly spinning in a 360. Like you see the character and it's constantly spinning 360, and all the person has to do is click, and then the character will just automatically like aim at you and then like shoot. So it's really fucked up because he would kill 5 of us in the moment of like a second or two. So it's really shitty that to get stuck in a competitive match against something like that, and it happened to me. And I hope that it never happens again. So me playing with strangers, and I just won't be doing that anymore. Just kind of for my own sanity.
Although that has nothing to do with the guy, right?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the guy. It was the way I felt about it. It was me being, I'm responsible for the environments I put myself into. So with Counter-Strike, there's always, potentially dealing with a hacker. But then me trying to be nice and letting somebody who I don't know play with me, I had to grab four other people just to key with him. And then in the end, that wasted time. And then playing that match was a waste of time too. Right. And it was just it's the game is salty enough as it is with people you like to play with. So it was one of those experiences that taught me that I don't have to be accommodating. I can, right. I'm allowed to say no. I am always allowed to say no if I want to say no. And that's one thing that I feel like a lot of streamers are pressured into doing, basically just always trying to be the nice guy or the devil's advocate.
Make everybody happy, yeah.
There are a lot of viewers that feel obligated, that feel like they haven't, we have a certain obligation to them because they are checking out our stream. And I'm learning the hard way that should not be the case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No means no.
But thanks for listening. That's about it.
Nick.
Yes, my child.
The Blue King Collection. That's
Binding of Isaac fan, and I know that you're one as well. The creator of Binding of Isaac has released a flash sale for the next 24 hours. I believe it ends 10 p.m. your time tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you can buy every game that he's ever made for $17 American. And it involves the origins of Bumbo. It involves the origins of Gish. You also get all the previous versions of Binding of Isaac, including the next ones as well. So you can kind of see the development between the first version, second version, and what we have now. You get Super Meat Boy as well in the Basement Collection. It's an amazing deal. So if you want to get into that universe, this is definitely the way to go.
You could get fingered for.
Oh yeah, you can get.
How much is that? You could get
$17 American.
$17 American and more
for all the games. Yeah, and if you already own some of them, it reduces the price.
Cool. Real, but if you just want to play Binding of Isaac and want to get into it, what do you buy? You just buy Rebirth, right?
You just buy Rebirth and Afterbirth.
And Afterbirth Plus.
I think you can just buy Afterbirth Plus, and all it needs is Rebirth.
Oh, gotcha.
The total amount of money to get the full Binding of Isaac current experience, I think, is $13.
Yeah, which isn't bad for 1,000 hours of gameplay.
Including the next 400 hours that are coming out in March or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
The other game I have to talk about before we start talking about some real shit is Contraband Police. Sniper, if you want to bring that up. If you guys ever played Papers, Please.
Yeah, it's very similar. I was about to say it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's obviously better graphics in the sense of it's 3D. It involves actually physically searching
the cars
and everything.
That's cool.
I experienced Papers, Please through YouTube. But I feel like this is way more involved. I think this might be a successful new age game from a development company that only has $2,000 to spend. But we'll see. It's supposed to be releasing, I believe, before May of this year, or at least the beta. So I'm definitely looking out for it.
This is rushed.
Can you imagine being the person that axes open one of those chairs and then you stab someone?
A person. I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened a bunch of times. The
passenger chair seat.
That's called San Diego fucking Contraband Border Patrol Police. 1994.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Paramount?
Yeah, no. So Paramount Plus, have you guys heard about the announcement today involving this? So Paramount just announced their own streaming software because of HBO saying that all of their titles releasing in 2021 will be releasing on HBO Now as well as
HBO Max
in theaters simultaneously. So Paramount is releasing their own streaming service.
Huh.
Hmm.
And will be removing all of their streaming their movies on the streaming services Jeez. I believe by June of this year.
It's such a clusterfuck, man. I really argued about this a long time ago. I wish somebody would just fucking put them all in one. Obviously, it'd be better for the consumer.
But I think we're going to get a Comcast Unity fucking experience where you get everything, you know, Hulu, yeah, all that shit, HBO.
Yeah, Hulu does a really good job of that. You could go on Hulu and just add whatever you want, HBO, Cinemax, like, right. I think you can add Disney Plus, but you can't watch it through Hulu, which kind of sucks. Yeah. But they do a pretty good job. You can also get like live TV there too. You can like sign up for the free sample like I did just to watch the Oscars, but it kind of makes it nice to have everything all in the same spot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not really surprised that this is happening. I mean, I think we are approaching the simultaneous release age because, you know, things aren't... This whole thing with the virus, like for the longest time, people were just like, when are we going back to normal? When are we going back to normal? And like at the very early stages of it, I remember my mom saying like, you know what? It's just going to be one of those things where it just changes and we do everything different from now on. And I was like, at the time I was like, I don't know. But my mom is a very wise person. She's like a very wise old lady.
The way you say it sounds condescending.
Dude, you say your mom, I think of Mr. House from like New Vegas, where she's like one giant computer that controls the whole city. But I know it's not the actual situation.
That's the thing. Like, I never really regarded my mom as being like very
wise.
Not like a smart person, like super intelligent or anything. Yeah, she reads a lot of books. She's very well read and like knowledgeable about a lot of things. But by talking to her, she doesn't come across as like a really intellectual type person. But she. You know, anybody who's that age has probably just had enough experience to realize like, yeah, this is one of those times in history where everything just changes moving forward. You know, it's happened probably a lot in the 60s. It happened with like AIDS, like everything was just different after that, you know, 9/11, everything was different after that, you know, and they never really went back to this the same way. So I think a lot of these changes that are happening, and you know, like with movies right here that we're looking at, this might be the moment in time where we have simultaneous release, where a movie comes out in theaters and for home viewing at the same time.
Yep.
And it never changes, never goes back after that.
I want to get HBO Plus Max for sure.
I got it if you want it.
There's a lot of good stuff on HBO Max, like a lot of hard to find things. Like there's some streaming services out there that I think are just incredibly valuable just because they have things that you can't seem to find anywhere else. Like Criterion has a streaming service and it used to be cheap, man. It used to be like $5 and now it's like 15 or something, like a little too much.
They add up if you fucking get them all, you know?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. How much is the Criterion collection nowadays?
I have no idea what Criterion is.
Well, the Criterion collection is like famous movies curated. It's existed before streaming. So they release their own versions of a movie. Like you'll see it at the beginning. The big gray sea comes out, Criterion collection. And it's, you know, typically highly regarded movies. Okay, $100 a year, $10.99. That's not too bad, but still. But it's great, man. You will find movies here that you cannot find anywhere else. But they're really, you know, more obscure films. So, right.
You know, it's for the film buff.
Yeah, exactly.
The Addams Family 2.3, they go to Hawaii.
Yikes. All right, time for listener questions?
I think so.
All right. Let's scroll on down here. First question comes from Coffee Germ. What are your opinions on the lawsuits CD Projekt Red are facing now? There are two of them as of this writing.
Okay, so it's one of the best selling games, digital games of all time. I think it's like third.
80% of their sales are virtual.
Yeah, you're getting a return on your investment and you're getting your money back. It's just not the fucking landslide that you thought it was going to be, or the reviews. I don't know what it is, but the game is making so much money.
It's making a lot of money, but I could see where there might be, honestly, it all boils down to the contract, whether or not they have a case, like, and that's for the lawyers to figure out. But I looked up some information about this. So there were two lawsuits. The one happened on December 25th, and that was from some investors, a law firm. So these guys probably have pretty good lawyers and know what they're doing and had a really strong contract. They're probably going to get something out of this. The other one was a class action lawsuit. So a bunch of other people who were also investors that just came together and basically piggybacked on the first one. Yeah, on the first one. But the thing is, and they listed out specifically like the five reasons that they're doing this. And I know, like, I have been made this joke before, like America just is so litigious and we sue everybody for everything and it's ridiculous. But you have to understand, like, these people were investors and they were promised, like, hey, this game is going to be huge. It's going to make a lot of money. And they may not have gotten their return on the investment, because you have to imagine they pulled this from the PlayStation. Was it the PlayStation store?
Yeah,
they pulled it from the PlayStation store. They offered refunds across the board. Like, they are losing money. So if you are an investor, you're losing money.
You're not making as much as you could have.
Yeah. And so it's really easy to say, like, if you don't really know how a lot of this stuff works, like, what are they complaining about? The game sold a million copies or like a ton of copies. It's making all this money. Yeah. But you have to understand, that's like somebody coming up to you and that says, hey man, I got a sure bet, going to make a ton of money. I just need like $500 from you. And then they take your $500 and they're like, ah, you know what? Didn't really work out. I'll see what I can get you. It's like, no, dude. Like,
I think, but I also think that investment has an inherent risk. Otherwise, if not, then there would be no need for investments. You just always go to the bank.
Yeah, well, again, that depends on the contract, though. Like, it really depends on how they wrote it up. And if they under-delivered and did not meet whatever expectations that they had, or if they under-delivered on their promises, because otherwise, you could just go out there and just tell people whatever you want and just say, hey man, it's an investment. Like, have you seen the movie The Producers? Basically that. Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to get into that. That's a whole nother explanation. But basically you can just go around and say, you can go to all these people, I don't know if this is exactly a Ponzi scheme, but it's a type of scheme where people go around, they collect money for investments, and then they put it into something that is like meets the right requirements of whatever they agreed upon, and then pocket the rest of the money. Right. It's like, well, you know,
didn't work out.
Yeah. It didn't work out. So I don't know, man, they might have a case here, but I honestly don't care. Like, really, as a PC gamer, this whole Cyberpunk thing doesn't affect us that much. I mean, our bugs are like Skyrim bugs, you know, they're like, they're not that big of a deal unless you're running like a really shitty computer. Like, and most PC gamers aren't. You know, if you're a PC gamer, you probably put a pretty good amount of money into your hardware. The people that are really suffering from this are the console players, are the people on last gen consoles who don't even have this game available to them possibly anymore.
Yeah. Oh no, I can't get it on my PS4. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, for a majority of the time, that's who these people are selling to, especially since the time they started on this project as well. If anything, when it comes to the lawsuits, I think CD Projekt Red should be the leading example of what not to do. So if they do, suffer major losses from this, it's basically like, well, you sow your own oats in this sense.
Did you guys see that apology video they put out like a week ago? That dude just dead in the eyes, just like, we take full responsibility. Sorry. Actually, it's all the testers' fault. Sorry. Like, really, dude? They just threw, like, quality assurance under the bus. You know,
I have, I've heard stories of people who launch games on Steam and they get Kickstarters. And there are so many actual video game developers that do push games out there, and they're just money grabs. And these are people who become multimillionaires for virtually one of the worst games you will ever play, but still took your money and ran with it and get away with it. And so CD Projekt Red, this is just it on a large scale.
Well, it's not like a complete scam. It's not like they didn't produce a game. But yeah, they could have like, well, the game was like hyped beyond belief. So, you know, I don't know, man. Like,
they didn't intend to make. They weren't trying to scam. They did the best they could.
But there is, I mean, the onus is on them a little bit, because it's not like that. It's not like they released the game and are like, what are all these bugs doing here? Why doesn't this work on last-gen consoles? This is totally a surprise. It's like, no, dude, you knew what you were releasing.
That was a stretch, dude. Why would you go for the last-gen consoles? But
well, you increase your market, man. Like, you can make so many more copies. Yeah, I know. It was a bad idea. But, of course, they're going to take that chance, man. There's so many more copies you can sell.
I feel like Minnie is like punching the air right now. He's like, it's a perfect game, damn it.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like on a PC, it's not bad. Like yeah. We really are kind of oblivious to the real struggles of Cyberpunk here because it runs better on PC than just about anything else.
It's true.
Well, the thing is, when I was playing it, I didn't experience game-breaking glitches. That's
yeah, me neither.
On the PC end. But then I also didn't experience something so enthralling that I wanted to play it through.
Yeah, me neither.
Or like through copious like load ups or startups with the game. Like it just didn't do that for me either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sheer Ponage asks, if 2020 was a game, what would it be? I think it would be like a Dung Beetle.
Cyberpunk because of all the viruses.
Dung Beetle Simulator 2020. You just roll up a bigger and bigger piece of shit. Like it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And your job is to get a bigger fucking year, piece of shit year than any other year. And 2020 was the biggest piece of shit.
I think it's VR chat, man. I think it's a double-sided sword. I think in some aspects, as like a person that likes staying home and playing video games and painting models like a nerd, 2020 has been almost a perfect year. Unfortunately, I can't see my parents or, you know, things like that for the holidays, but I've been able to do a lot of what I wanted to do, which is like VR chat with your friends. But if you're VR chatting with the people that are just shouting nothing but memes and what is the way, it could be a hellscape like 2020 has been for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I feel like They Are Billions would be an appropriate impression of 2020 as well. It's just like, you know, there's this looming threat just outside your door and it's going to find its way in, and sometimes there's no escape and it's just overwhelming, over encompassing. It's like literally your world. And you trying to build what you can and muster what you can to survive in it.
I don't know if I can think of a game that kind of embodies the entire 2020 year, but I do think it's interesting that as the year has gone on, there's been a lot of direct comparisons to video games. So coronavirus gets really big. Everybody starts memeing. What was that game where you create the virus and you try to spread it? You know what I'm talking about.
Contagion Inc.
Contagion Inc.? I thought it was something. It's something Inc. Yeah. You get to name your virus. Somebody in chat, look it up, please.
Called Plague Inc. there.
Plague Inc. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody was memeing that at first. And then when that whole insurrection at the Capitol happened, like everybody was talking about the Division 2. I think it was the second one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Division 2 and like the eerie similarities between that game. Yeah, so I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like whatever we go through, there's always going to be a video game we can point to and just say, yeah, it's just like that.
I mean, that's a movie. It's not a video game, but Idiocracy is hilarious. I think that's one of the best Comedy Central movies.
Yeah, that was a good
one. That's where the Dildozer was born for when we played that weird make-your-own-robot game.
President Macho Camacho.
Macho, the Costco. Where are you going to buy your groceries? Well, I don't know, Costco. That's the only place where they buy stuff.
All right. Next question. Media Hype Train says, what is a game that you'd like to see its universe explored in a different genre, perhaps by a different developer?
Ooh, that's a big question.
I feel like the answer I always give to this question is Star Wars. I'd like to see a Star Wars tactical turn-based game. Or just more Star Wars stuff. More like niche Star Wars stuff. Not like big AAA Star Wars stuff that's just palatable for kids in all ages. Like something like real specific Star Wars, you know?
I'm going to go with, for this one, I'm going to go the Warhammer universe. But I want kind of like a God of War experience. So this is like me going on like the tinfoil hat kind of parade. And in the Warhammer universe, you know, you have the Space Marines, right? And the Space Marines are plucked off of these planets because of the, they're like the strongest people of the world. And there are planets that are still in the Stone Age, and people get picked off of these planets and become Space Marines. And to kind of have like a video game where it's like the first half, you're like a caveman that's hunting like, you know, mammoths and saber-toothed tigers and stuff. And as a player, you would play the game, you're like, this environment is kind of weird. You know, these woolly mammoths aren't exactly what we know, and all these other animals. And then like halfway through the game, it's like a hard cut, boom. You know, you get abducted by these crazy ass people, and then like 75% of the game, you realize it's the Imperium of Man. I think it would be like an amazing story through that way.
Totally.
That's awesome. This one's a tough one. I could think of a lot of different things. None of them, I don't think I could take even myself seriously on. But like, I think something that would be fun, I know you mentioned VR chat earlier. I think it would be great to have something like a Super Smash Brothers in VR, where you get to kind of be the hero, like, you know, like maybe not quite VR, but it's almost like, how do we take all of those different heroes and not have it be a fighting game? Like, is there almost like Kingdom Hearts, I guess.
Like a smash like up.
Super Smash Brothers turn Kingdom. Yeah, like a smash up turn Kingdom Hearts. Like, you create a world where every character, even though they have different backgrounds, are somehow relevant in this one world, and it's not just a battle stage.
That's a really good answer, Chi. Because, like, I don't know why, yeah. I don't know why Smash Brothers gets away with it. Maybe because there's no story and everybody knows that this is not a real universe. It's just like they're getting together just for this one fight, and that's it.
How dare you? There is a story, you asshole.
Oh, yeah. The hands are flying in from another dimension, and we have to fucking rally our troops to, yeah.
It's basically like hands. Toy Story. The hands like Andy.
Let's see. And not because I'm a Star Trek fan, but like what keeps bringing Bobby back to what's that game we talked about last week, Bobby?
Pulsar,
yeah.
Lost Colony.
If we can get a Star Wars that's fucking, I mean, a Star Trek that's Star Wars, and I mean, oh, I'm sorry, if we could get a Star Trek that is an actual Star Trek game, and it feels like you're flying around and getting in the same adventures that they do, and you have to figure out a way to get out of getting fucked every week or so, that would be amazing. But it's just like, how do you make it work? A bunch of people have tried. There was a VR one that looked exactly like, isn't there one? There's a Star Trek that look. It's called The Bridge.
Yeah, The Bridge.
Yeah, and I don't know how good that is, but you're requiring $7,000 worth of, no, including the rigs, you're talking about $30,000 worth of equipment for six people to play this in VR, you know what I mean? Like, something a little more accessible that does what this does. Hmm. I think that would be great.
I think that's really, it's almost like that one Black Mirror episode, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Episode. Like, this is, I have no complaints about this, except for not everybody has five friends to have sick VR rigs and the time to, this is, you're talking about, like, you know, to have an adventure, you're talking minimum 2 hours, right? Because everybody's got to sit down, you have five people, let's all go do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if you can, it's like D&D. If you can do it, I'm sure it's great, but D&D is free-ish, and this is, you know.
Plus, if you're playing with that many people, there's always going to be that dude that just can't get his shit working. Yeah.
It's almost always me.
Spends like 20 minutes troubleshooting it.
Yeah.
You know what would be great as a bridge or a social hub? Like, if you had a gamer's hub where it's just you and your friends exclusively invited to this lobby, and like, if as long as you check into the hub, maybe it'll automatically show you like what this person played this week, maybe some clips or something like that. So like, no matter what, you're kind of always relevant to your close gaming friends' gaming experiences. Even if you're not playing the same game, it's kind of like the callback. Or like the Guild Hall, where you basically just kind of like see what everyone's up to, or like how far along they've come and what they're doing.
They could easily do that. It's almost like what you're talking about, G, I think, is like if you took Steam as it exists, but then you had your top eight, and then those top eight you saw in like detail. right? Something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, it would be really cool.
Like, are you even listening? Like Twitch videos,
fucking gaming, or get to work.
Like clips.
All right, Warconius has a few questions here. Any moments in your gaming life that a game or series of games made you reflect on relationships or life choices?
Oh, oof, man.
Dude. I've had, when I was addicted to EverQuest, Nick, do you remember this at all? Was this in your lifetime?
Yeah, I remember going into your room when you were playing EverQuest, and you're like, you either sit down and shut the fuck up, or you go back in the living room.
Yeah, that was it, dude. That was my entire life was EverQuest. Work and EverQuest. That was it. Nothing else. I don't know how many years it was. I want to say it was probably 3. But yeah, you know, fucking 10, 15 hours a day. And there was a certain time, there's a certain amount where, like, I'd have arguments with my girlfriend about playing too much while playing. And so that was rough. Having sex during EverQuest, getting blowjobs during EverQuest, like just like all this stuff. It's just too much, you know? And then it was especially the arguments where I was like, it's weird having the argument while doing the thing that we're arguing about. Like, that's when I kind of realized, I feel like that's when I realized that it was too much. Hmm. But, yeah.
I have that same, you know, that's actually something quite recent to me. Not as severe as that, but so I play Escape from Tarkov. Everybody kind of knows that. And if you know anything about the game, there's a kind of like a final mission where you get this thing called the Kappa container. And it requires at least 45, 50 hours of game time where you're doing in-game quests and stuff like that. And it happens every wipe. And I've done it 3 times before. And in this newest wipe in Christmas Eve, it happened. You know, I was playing the game and everything, and, you know, with a newborn daughter and going through the time, and I was like, man, I got to get Kappa container again. I got to get Kappa container again. I get it every season. I gotta get it again. And I looked at myself, and I looked at the relationship I currently have with, you know, my wife and everything in my own family and everything. I was just like, you know what? I don't need to get it. This is just adding extra stress and consuming more time and just degrading my own personal relationships. So it's not something that I have to get at all.
Yeah. And you know what? Your life is no better or worse for not doing that. You know, well, it's better probably than if you would have got it.
I think that's one thing that having a family, especially during World of Warcraft, like, I got to be part of the raiding team. I got to be part of the mythic raiding team. I got to play every Wednesday and Thursday. I got to devote my time from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at night.
So you just said
play with these guys.
You're quitting. Wow. Is this the same thought process that went into this?
Exactly. You know, I cleared the dungeon. I mean, I've cleared the raid 4 times. I don't see any reason to do it again. I'd rather spend time with people that I enjoy spending time, like Bobby and Sniper and Ree and Emilio, to play D&D or just, you know, spending time with my own family than really fucking absorbing my time just sitting there waiting for people to do shit.
Yeah. You know? And I think when you first started hanging out with us, and I'm sure there's still a little bit of this, but you're like, why do you guys play these shitty little games? Why are you guys playing these, like, Jackbox games? And, like, let's go play some real games. And I'm sure there's still some of that to it, but it's the accessibility. Everybody's there. Everybody that counts can just play. It's free. It's easy. Let's just do it. You know, there's a lot of that, like, time, saving time. We could all just play this right now, guys, or we can have everybody download something new. You know what I mean? And that's all going to take time.
And I think that's one thing that the Discord really does well. So, like, we know now this coming week, if we do another game night, if Days...
You better come ready with some shit installed.
Yeah. If Days goes, hey, we're playing this game, motherfuckers, you better have it installed. You better bet everybody's going to install that game to play.
And we're not going
to
play anything that is 50 gigs anyway. Even if you don't have
or $50, it's going to be below like $10 or $5, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Warconius's next question here. Tencent just announced investing majority stake in Clay Entertainment. What is your most memorable Clay game, and what do you hope they do in the future with this infusion of cash?
Mine is Mark of the Ninja. I've played that the most, I think. Bobby, there was a... It feels like a Clay game. Can you bring them up? Let's just look at their games. I want to make sure it's
Mark
not...
of the Ninja, Shank 1 and 2, Oxygen Not Included, Griflins.
Don't Starve.
Yeah, Don't Starve, big one. Invisible Ink. Yeah, I've missed a lot of these games, actually. But you know what? I mean, Mark of the Ninja was a fantastic game. It's pretty old by now, but it still holds up. I got to go with Griflins, their newest one. It's not even out yet. It's in beta still.
JP really Diddy picked it up. He really likes it too.
Yeah, it's a solid game, and they've done so much. I can't remember when the last time I've talked about it was, but they've added and changed and improved so much about the game. It's got so much more content right now, and it's not even 1.0 yet.
I have not played a single Clay title, even though I've known about a majority of them, and I know they're quality titles. Never touched or loaded up any of them at all.
Nick?
Mine's going to be Don't Starve. And the reason being is that Don't Starve has to be one of the games in the last like 6 years that I played like on my iPad or my computer where I legit couldn't stop giggling. Like just the sounds like that when you're like starving or like there's beefalo and I'm beefalo, like, yeah. There's beefalo! Like it just kept me laughing the whole time.
Cool.
That was a great game. I really liked Don't Starve Together, and it's funny when I interviewed Kevin Forbes a year ago, name drop, he talked about how the idea of the game was supposed to be single player. You're supposed to feel alone, you know, it was supposed to have that kind of feeling of loneliness to it. But the community really demanded multiplayer so much that they eventually gave in. And I could still tell after all this time, he was still not really happy about that decision because I mean, when you're designing a game, you go in and you decide on things and like, that is the decision.
Right.
That was something they had really stuck to, but God, I'm so glad they made Don't Starve Together. Cause I love playing multiplayer in that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what it is about this game, man. I love the aesthetic. It just never clicked for me. I don't know. Gathering resources and building shit is just not my thing in general.
I mean, yeah, me neither. But for some reason in this game, I find it a lot more easy to swallow.
I don't think he likes anything. Yeah, I don't think he likes anything with a hunger meter either. He didn't like The Sims.
Yeah. Because I'm hungry in real life. Like, I got to get up anyway. Like, I don't want to feed myself and this little character. Mm. Shanks are just stupid fun.
Yeah, that's some of their really early stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, one of the first Mexican protagonists in a game that I know of.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Warconius. Resident Evil had a big presentation with Village and an announcement for the remake of 4. Have you played the remakes of 2 and 3? How about 7?
I played a little bit of 7. Maybe 2 hours.
Yeah, I played a little bit too. I actually bought that game, but I mean, it was a great game, but I just didn't complete it. The only Resident Evil game I've ever played all the way through is 5.
And weird, dude.
I played it co-op, and I don't think that was a very popular one either, but I don't know, I enjoyed it. Huh. It's all right. Played it like, I think, 10 years ago with a buddy of mine. I haven't played any of the remakes, but I hear great things about them.
Yeah. So I played a lot of Resident Evil 2, the remake. And it's great. It's actually very challenging. I enjoy it a lot. Leo is also a hunk. It really pays when like the protagonist looks really good. And Resident Evil 4, obviously, again, Mr. Leo. I love Leon. Sorry, Leon. I really love 4. Like 4 was my favorite Resident Evil of all time. Like hands down, I'm really excited about that remake. I didn't even think that game even needs a remake because it's so good standing as its own. Mm-hmm. But I'm super excited about that. And then I played a lot of Resident Evil, and since I haven't beaten the second remake of 2, I wasn't over eager for the third remake title. And from what I understand, I heard that Resident Evil 2 was the better remake out of the two. So I felt like I didn't miss much on not picking up the third as a remake.
What's going on in this picture, Chi?
a little too much midriff for a dude. That's all I'll say.
Like, I'm not gay, but I think I'd fuck him. I don't know.
Oh, step bro, please no.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. Oh no, this is great.
All right, last question from Mavenstone.
Bobby, how dare you? I didn't mean to answer the question. No, I played remakes of both 2 and 3. I definitely played 7. I was expecting more southernness in 7. I look forward to 8. That's it.
Hmm. All right.
More southernness?
Yeah, more I was expecting impact? Like... Cause, no, it was like, it was in Louisiana, and I was expecting like, you gonna get it today, boy! And like more French. Oh, man. Just more shit like that, but I didn't get it.
Is that how Louisiana is?
He knows. He's
that was going
on. There's a lot of French in Louisiana, action. Man.
There's some real brother action in 7. Is that what you're saying?
No comment. Wow.
All right. Mavenstar asks, two weapons with the same DPS. Do you prefer rapid series of weaker attacks or the all damage loaded in one big shot, like an SMG versus shotgun?
I love this fucking question. This is a great question, man. I am always... Always. I'm as far to the whatever direction you want to say this is, to the slow, hard hits, that I always go fucking Warhammer. I always go sniper rifle. I play Zangief. If that tells you what's going on, that's what I do. It's always about the big hits. In Smite, I played fucking, what's his name? Hebo, which is like splash huge chunks of damage at once. I don't know. I've always, and even to my detriment a lot, like I will just try to force to make a shittier character work, AKA Zangief.
I feel like I'm on the other side of that because if you miss with the shotgun, like you miss with like that big, huge shot or the sniper rifle or the rocket launcher, it's like a big whiff.
Yeah,
with the SMG, you got a lot more chances. You know, if you don't hit every single time, well, at least you did some damage.
Less margin of error.
Yeah, sure. Easier to do headshots with something like that. So I usually err on the side of like assault rifles or... not usually SMGs in games, although, you know, it depends on how the game treats them. But yeah, I usually like... boring old assault rifles.
That even said, like in a game that has like a lot of assault rifles and like SMGs and stuff, I'll almost always go with the carbine, the single shot, like one click. That just feels
Like in
carbines
GTFO,
are my favorite.
In GTFO, I'm using the DMR, and I've really been enjoying that. It's not a lot of bullets, but if you hit one in the head, like it's usually one shot, one kill.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's Emilio's gun right there. That would be perfect. It is the tap, tap, tap gun. It's full auto.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it really depends on like what type of shooter environment I'm in. Like if it's Left 4 Dead and zombies are coming at you and no matter what, they're always going to get in your face, I feel like the shotgun's the way to go. Whereas I wouldn't want to use shotgun in like a deathmatch scenario because it would kind of force me to camp or play very passively. And then not only that, say goodbye to anything long range. So I think like in traditional deathmatch environment, I would go with a rifle. And then when it comes to a more like NPC oriented environment, the shotgun. For sure. I mean, same effects, more or less. You know, it kills the kill. Yeah. And I think the gun affects your actual motion more than anything else. And I'm the type of person that, I don't know. Like, I do like rushing with a shotgun in Left 4 Dead. But I would never do that in, like, a deathmatch setting.
I feel like...
I do, and that's why I'm always dead, gee. I'll do it all night for that one time that I got behind the enemy's line to just lit them all up.
Oh, yeah. We all remember it's the famous really, swing actually, with the battle axe.
Shotgun kills are more gratifying, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Shot heard around the world. I miss like '90s games where they just it wasn't like you know so specific. It's like okay, this is a P90, whatever. You know, it was just like okay, this gun shoots shurikens and lightning. This one's a rail gun. And it has these like bombs that it shoots that sticks to people's faces. This one just shoots a bunch of blades everywhere. It's just like they had fun with it. Like let's bring that back. Yeah. All right, Call of Duty. Talking to you. Let's just
Ratchet and Clank, man. That's what you're looking for.
I was in Mass Effect. I played shotguns. Love shotguns in Mass Effect.
Well, what's the game I'm thinking of? Pain something? Painkiller.
Max Payne?
Painkiller.
Painkiller.
Yeah. Painkiller did it right. Let's all be Painkiller.
Answer for this?
Yep.
Yep.
I don't know. I thought one of you.
Wait on you, Nick.
My answer for this is going to be the SMG. It's actually something that's going on in Tarkov right now. Everybody's playing either the gun that kills you in two or three hits or using the Vector. I'm definitely the SMG user. I have the confidence in myself to be able to dodge your shotgun shells so I can hit you with the SMG. But if like in a perfect world, whenever me and my friends play video games, I'm always like the tank or the guy with the light machine gun. So that's usually the case for me.
But usually a tank does not have the light machine gun.
Like, for example, the Division, like, it was always a good idea to have somebody with an SMG, one guy with a sniper rifle, one guy with a light machine gun. I was always a light machine gun.
You know who would have the worst answer to this is Chad. Because he'd just be like, "Oh, do I need a gun? Can I just get something that does a little bit of damage in my immediate area? And I just stand next to them and it just does a little bit of damage?
Whatever I can get. I just don't like to aim. I can't aim. So anything where I can't aim. These are legitimate arguments.
He pretty much wanted to play Bristleback from Dota 2 in every game.
Yeah, because you don't have to aim. That's exactly.
That's when you give him like Barbie, like horse ride adventures. You're like, you don't have to aim. You just kind of press buttons at the right time there, Chad.
All right. That is all the questions that we have. And what's everybody playing next week?
Fucking Last of Us 2, for sure. I can put my feet up, dude, my beautiful feet. Like calling it back from the beginning of the podcast, my beautiful feet, put them up, hold my baby, and fight the fucking mushroom zombies.
All right.
I don't blame you, Emilio. I might. I'm gonna try to beat Breath of the Wild coming up soon here, and a big part of that is, couch gaming. So I might have to change up a couple of things in my office to make that happen, because that's how I would prefer to play the console game. As for PC, more Hades, and there's this one game called Omori that I'm really looking forward to trying out.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. That looks really good.
It's popping up everywhere, I feel like.
That was on the radar
I've
last
week. I've seen it two or three times since you mentioned it last week. Nick?
Might even play it as soon as we log off.
I got three things I want to do this week. Finish painting Daze's cultists.
She sent you some...
Three more things to add.
Cultists? She sent you some...
Yeah, things? So she was my Secret Santa for this year. Shout out to the Secret Santa program for DLG. She sent me 10 cultists to finish off my cultist division of 20. And I'm painting them how I think she would like them to be painted. I got to add one color... One shade and then one technical and I'm done, which should all take me about 2 hours. The second thing I want to do is get D&D going again, so messaging you guys. And then the last thing that I have to do is I have to wipe my Rust server that I currently have with all my friends.
Oh,
I currently have 27 friends playing on my Rust server, and I'm wiping it on Saturday and watching that chaos of people throwing spears at me.
Sniper, can you put Rust on for next week? Because I really want to talk to Nick. I've seen pictures of Rust, and it doesn't even look anything like it used to at all. So,
that's the whole thing about it. Like they did their release. It is nothing how we used to play together. Yeah. The only thing that's even relatively close is like the building dynamic, and that's it.
Wow,
it is amazing right now. And that's why all my friends
and people are role playing, or you pick roles. I'm not sure. We'll get into it next week.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess that's it. God damn it, I had one more thing. But anyway, speaking for Bobby Chi, Nick, and Sniper, and myself, Rusty Titties. Bye-bye. Arigato!
Arigato gozaimasu.
Annyeong.
I'll see you guys next week. I gotta go get sleep.
Get some sleep, man.